exposing the changing worldviews behind the issues that are fundamentally changing our nation and world. The Sharon Hughes Show starts now.
Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about.
The gain-of-function research was going on in that lab, and NIH funded it.
That is
not...
You
can't get away from it. It meets your definition, and you are obfuscating the truth.
We presented a paper from the Wuhan Institute by a Dr. Shi, where she took viruses, combined two viruses that were not infectious in humans, and made them infectious in humans. And all Dr. Fauci could do was sputter, call me a liar, but he never, at any point in time, did he address any of the facts that we laid out, that the money he was giving to Wuhan was indeed for gain of function.
You take 20 mice, you infect them, you wait a week, and then you recover the virus from the sickest mouse. Then you take another 20 and you do it again, and suddenly you're starting to kill the mice. And finally, after several weeks, through this directed evolution, you'll produce a mouse that can kill every humanized, a virus that can kill every humanized mouse.
Usually when you think of a masquerade, you think of deception, where someone is hiding their true identity. One of the things that's so funny now, you're not allowed to go into a bank without wearing this mask. Well, it used to be when someone came into a bank with a mask on, you knew they were about to rob the bank.
Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show, which I promise you is going to be controversial. Why? Because there are two distinct opposing views as regards to, as you well know, COVID-19, its origins, as well as is there or is there not an agenda behind using COVID-19 that has caused a loss of our liberties. We are beginning a three-part series on this issue, Unmasking the Masquerade. That's the title of a two-volume book by my guest, Erling Kurla, president of California Eagle Forum and author of 13 books. Unmasking, if you will, what the tracing, the testing, the tracking, the transmitting, and the transforming of our nation really means. And hopefully, we will be able to unmask the masquerade behind it all.
Searching but not finding, understanding anyway. We're lost in this masquerade.
You're listening to Sharon Hughes, celebrating 18 years, getting to the heart of the issues and the worldviews behind them.
In our introduction there, you know that we're going to be talking about unmasking the masquerade of COVID-19 and the subsequent vaccines. But first, there's one thing that has happened here that I want to talk about before we get into our topic, and that is in California, our home state, because of a bill passed by Governor Newsom, SB 132, California is getting ready to transfer men to women's prisons. So the prisons are stocking up on abortion pills and condoms, and female inmates in the California prison system are crying out for help because they already are becoming prey for transgender, quote unquote, women. In other words, men who identify as women. Correctional facilities are preparing for an increase in rapes and pregnancies following this policy change that will allow males who identify as females to be transferred to women-only prisons. Now, the state of California began implementing this new law, which came into effect in January of this year. And the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation's Deputy Press Secretary, Terry Thornton, said that, quote, a person's gender identity is self-reported and the CDCR will evaluate any requests submitted by an incarcerated person for gender-based housing. So far, there's been 20 requests that have been processed and not one has been denied. And some of these transgender, quote-unquote, men are in prison for being sex offenders. Hello? So transgender men not only want access to bathrooms and dressing rooms where our young girls are trying on clothes, now prisoners want to be in women's prisons, and it's already having major consequences. Well, that's not the only thing having major consequences, because our topic today on the origins of COVID-19, the agendas behind using COVID-19, the results of those agendas, and much more. Here's just a few facts to open up our topic. Number one, CDC panel wants support for booster shots, even though reports of injuries and deaths after COVID vaccines reach nearly 500,000, a half a million people. That's according to VAERS, V-A-E-R-S. We mentioned them a couple of weeks ago. Their data released on July 16th showed that a total of 491,218 reports of adverse effects from all age groups following COVID vaccines, including now, when we first reported, it was 9,000. Now it's up to 11,405 deaths and 48,385 serious injuries as a result of the vaccines. And yet, the push to get vaccines continues. You probably heard this week of another college student that was not allowed to attend the university of her choice without being vaccinated, even though her doctor said because of her individual personal health condition, should not take it. Well, back in May, we learned that 2.4 million college students faced a vaccine mandate. 130 universities will not accept acquired immunity as an exemption from the mandate. So if you have immunity to COVID, that doesn't count. You have to have the vaccine. Well, here's a little kind of side note that I think you'll find interesting. A report came out this week that most pro athletes are not wanting to have anything to do as, quote, public spokespersons for the COVID vaccines. You know, we've seen major athletic stars back certain things. You know, again, here in California in Santa Clara County, where the San Francisco 49ers train and play their home games, a part of the state that has the highest COVID vaccination rates, as of July 11th, more than 76% of its vaccine-eligible residents were fully vaccinated. And while the 49ers franchise used their stadium to be a mass inoculation site where more than 350,000 doses were given, the 49ers themselves are not so excited about getting shots, not just not being spokespersons for them. As a matter of fact, in June, head coach Kyle Shanahan said only 53 out of the 91 athletes on the team roster, which is a 58%, were fully vaccinated. And it's not just the 49ers. As a matter of fact, most pro leagues in the U.S. are struggling to get their team's COVID-19 vaccination rates to the 85% point, which is, I guess, a threshold considered high enough to protect the locker rooms or clubhouses from spreading the disease. It's not happening. As you know, many, many healthcare workers, doctors are saying the same thing. And when vaccinations were first coming out, 60% of nurses in one state decided they were not going to take the vaccine. But today's show is not to argue whether you should take the vaccine or not. It's really about, what do we know about COVID-19? Did it start in the Wuhan lab? What's in the vaccine itself? And what's the agenda behind using COVID-19? We're going to be talking about that today and over the next couple of weeks. And when we get back from this break, an expert testimony from a scientist adding evidence that clarifies the origin of COVID-19. You've got to hear this. I mean, I reposted this information all over our social media networks because if people want to know the truth, what you're going to hear next is vital in that endeavor.
Unafraid to challenge the politically correct status quo, you can trust Sharon to drop the plumb line of truth.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dacus.
A group of 21 state attorney generals sent a letter to the White House denouncing the expansion of LGBT policies in schools. In June, the Department of Education announced that it would provide new resources that promote LGBT policies in employment within schools and state governments. Well, the attorney generals argued that the Department of Education's guidance violates religious liberty protections and free speech rights and excludes the voices of the people, which is unconstitutional as well. Visit pji.org to learn more about your religious rights.
Learn more about our ministry and get exclusive email updates by registering for The Legal Insider at pji.org. Remember the website, pji.org.
Alive again, the breakthrough world-class aloe vera wellness drink with proven health benefits and life-changing testimonies to match.
Hi, my name is Catherine, and I'm a cancer survivor. I started taking this amazing product during my chemo treatments, and it gave me remarkable energy. To my excitement, my chemo treatments were stopped early. This product will continue to be part of my daily life. I would like to thank God and the people who created Alive Again, because I truly am alive again. Thank you.
Alive Again is the result of decades of studies and was developed by one of the founding members of the International Aloe Science Council. Alive Again provides a healthy, natural, antioxidant-rich, great-tasting, super fruit drink.
And special for our Changing Worldviews listeners, that if you would like to get Alive Again for a 20% discount, just go to apexhealth.life/Sharon. Again, apexhealth.life/Sharon, or call 833-334-5433. 833-334-5433.
You're listening to The Sharon Hughes Show. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Just follow the links at the bottom of the page at changingworldviews.com.
Thanks for staying with me. Okay, as I mentioned, expert testimonies from two scientists before the U.S. Congress added evidence that clarifies the origin of COVID-19, which they testified and believe was leaked from a laboratory in Wuhan, China. And they also, primarily the part we're going to play here for you to hear, talks about the controversial gain-of-function research. And why? Well, because as you heard in the opening clips of the show, Dr. Fauci was testifying before Congress, and he and Senator Rand Paul had a strong confrontation about gain of function, and we're going to bring that to you as well. But first, here's one of the testimonies given before the House Oversight and Reform Subcommittee on Select Coronavirus Crisis Hearing, which in a nutshell says there is no evidence to support the theory that COVID-19 emerged from a wet market in China, and no animal host or widespread animal-to-human transmission has been found, number one. Number two, COVID-19 has a unique trigger on the surface called a furin cleavage site, F-U-R-I-N, and a unique code in the genes for that site. And these markers do not exist in natural coronaviruses, but are known to have been used in gain-of-function research. And number three, COVID-19 was pre-adapted for optimal human-to-human transmission, another sign of gain-of-function research. And while many say that we'll never truly know the origin, short of China confessing it or a whistleblower coming forth, which there have been, but they've been shut down. But as Richard Mueller, professor emeritus of physics at the University of California, Berkeley, stated during his testimony, we have a whistleblower, the virus itself. Here, take a listen.
Dr. Stephen Quay, he's a physician and a scientist with hundreds of published scientific articles. Dr. Quay has been cited over 10,000 times, holds 87 patents across 22 different fields of medicine, and he's invented seven different FDA-approved medicines. He's an expert in the field and brings an upper echelon of analysis to the question we're posing today about the origins. Now, to you, Dr. Quay.
Thank you, Congressman Scalise and Comer, members of the subcommittee of the coronavirus crisis, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate the nonpartisan approach the subcommittee is taking today, clearly science in the last few years, but especially on the topics related to the COVID pandemic, has been co-opted by geopolitics. Thus, I am here not as a mouthpiece for any particular party, but as an American scientist. I dedicate my testimony today to the more than 600,000 Americans that this pandemic has killed so far, with the hope that by clarifying the origin of COVID, we can help to prevent future pandemics and the loss of innocent lives. Given this backdrop, I'll be keeping my remarks today to matters of science. I'll state facts and evidence about the pandemic that I have collected. I'll explain why those facts lead to certain conclusions, allow a particular inference, or rule out a hypothesis about the origin. In deciding between a natural origin and a lab origin, there are six facts no one disagrees with. Number one, the Chinese first told the world that the COVID pandemic began in the Hunan seafood market because approximately one half of the early cases had been associated with that location. This would have been reminiscent of the two previous coronavirus epidemics, as both SARS-1 and MERS began in live animal markets. However, after 18 months of investigation, we now know it did not begin in a market in Wuhan for the following three reasons. First, none of the 11 patients from the Hunan market or any other market in Wuhan were infected with the earliest virus, meaning they came into the market already infected. The four patients with the earliest genetic version of the virus all had one thing in common. None had any exposure to the Hunan market. Second, we know in January 2020 from public scientific databases that the patient with the earliest first complete virus sequence was a 39-year-old man treated at the General Hospital of Central Theater Command of the People's Liberation Army of China, located on Wuhou Road in the Wuchang district of Wuhan, about 3 kilometers from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. After 18 months and almost 3 million viruses sequenced worldwide, this virus still remains the earliest. Second, none of the environmental specimens from the market had the earliest virus, meaning they also came into the market. This included 1,055 samples of frozen food in the market, all of which tested negative for COVID. Third, 457 animals from Hunan market were tested. All were negative for COVID. 616 animals from suppliers to the market were tested. All were negative. 1,864 wild animals from southern China of the type found in the market were tested. They were also all negative. These data from the publicly available WHO report established that it did not begin in the Hunan market or any other market in Wuhan. Number two, failing to find it in any market in Wuhan, the search was expanded to all of China. But after testing 80,000 samples from 209 different species from other markets, farms, and nature, the virus has not been found in a single specimen. The probability of this for a community-acquired infection is about 1 in 1 million. This is what you'd expect for a lab-acquired infection. Number three, after testing 9,952 stored human blood specimens from hospitals in Wuhan from before December 29th, there was not a single case of COVID in any specimen. It was expected that between 100 and 400 would be positive. The probability of this for a community-acquired infection is also about 1 in 1 million. But this is what you'd expect for a lab-acquired infection. There is no evidence of multiple animal-to-human transmissions. With two prior coronavirus outbreaks, SARS-1 and MERS, 50 to 90% of early cases were from various animal-to-human infections. For SARS-CoV-2, 249 early cases of COVID-19 were examined genetically, and they all were human-to-human transmission. For a community-acquired infection, this is the probability of tossing a coin 249 times and getting heads every single time. This is, however, what you'd expect for a lab-acquired infection. Number five, SARS-CoV-2 has a unique trigger on its surface called a furin cleavage site and a unique code in the genes for that site called a CGG-CGG dimer. So these are two independent levels of uniqueness. The furin site is why the virus is so transmissible, why it invades the heart, the brain, and the blood vessels. Viruses like Ebola, HIV, Zika, yellow fever all use furin sites, and this is part of the reason for their deadliness. But the entire group of coronaviruses in which SARS-CoV-2 belongs does not contain a single example of a furin site or a single example of the CGG-CGG dimer code. A comprehensive study by MIT group shows that there has never been a furin site or the CGG letter dimer in this group of coronaviruses for at least 1,000 years, since William won the Battle of Hastings in 1066 to become monarch of England. But since 1992, in gain-of-function experiments, the WIV and other laboratories around the world have inserted furansites into viruses repeatedly. It is the only sure method that always works and always makes them more infectious. And the CGG-CGE code found in COVID-19 is commonly used in laboratories around the world, including the WIV. You can literally order it from a supply company on the internet. This is wrong for three reasons based on well-known fundamental biology, probably college level. Because coronaviruses do exchange genetic material so easily, the very existence and stability of these five distinct groups is evidence from nature that there must be barriers for exchange of genetic material. I've spoken previously about the 1,000-year stability of the group that COVID belongs to. If recombination was easy, this group would have merged into the other four into a single group. Two things stop recombination from happening. And this includes research by Dr. Desik and Shi, by the way. First, recombination happens when one poor bat is infected with two different viruses, and during that co-infection, the genetic material gets exchanged. So here, the group of viruses that have furansites and CGG dimers don't infect the same bat species as the COVID-like viruses that don't have furansites. So the COVID viruses can only exchange material within their group, the group that hasn't had a furansite or a CGG dimer for 1,000 years. Now, second, even if you force two different viruses into a cell in the laboratory, there are unique genetic sequences that are required for gene combination or recombination to occur. The hotspots where exchange can occur are different for each group and incompatible between the groups. Number six, finally, SARS-CoV-2 was pre-adapted for human-to-human transmission from the very first patient. Specifically, the part of the virus that interacts with human cells was 99.5% optimized. When SARS-1 first jumped into humans, it had only 17% of the changes needed to cause an epidemic. As evidence of the relevance of this work, the UK strain, remember last fall, in the fall of 2020 that emerged and was more effective, was a change in one of those 17 few spots that hadn't been optimized at the beginning, N501Y. Some virologists may claim COVID virus was not pre-adapted and point to evidence that has been mutating a lot since it first emerged, making new variants like the Delta strain currently in the news. But the details tell a different story. COVID does randomly make, on average, about one genetic mistake every 2 weeks. So after a year of circulating the globe, it will naturally have, on average, 26 changes somewhere in its genetic code compared to when it started. But the vast majority of these mistakes are either neutral, having no effect on the deadliness of the virus, or actually detrimental, making the virus weaker. Less than 1% of the changes actually improve the virus. So how do I believe the COVID virus was taught to infect humans in a laboratory? Commonly used gain-of-function method to optimize the COVID virus would have been to serial passage in a laboratory on a humanized, genetically modified mouse that can develop a human-like pneumonia. You take 20 mice, you infect them, you wait a week, and then you recover the virus from the sickest mouse. Then you take another 20 and you do it again, and suddenly you're starting to kill the mice. And finally, after several weeks, through this directed evolution, you'll produce a mouse that can kill every humanized, a virus can kill every humanized mouse. In closing, let me say to the families of those who have died from COVID, I'm dedicated to applying my scientific and medical expertise to understanding how this pandemic happened and, importantly, helping put safeguards in place at our research institutions to be sure this never happens again. Thank you.
We have to take a break, and when we come back, I want to play a clip of Representative Jim Jordan talking before a committee where he points out that Dr. Fauci did know about these things. But first, the dueling, if you will, that took place between Senator Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci, who had it out this week, with Dr. Fauci calling Senator Rand Paul a liar. And then for the full second half of the show, my interview with author of Unmasking the Masquerade, Erling Kurla. Stay with me.
Are we really happy with this lonely game we play? Looking for the right words to say. Searching but not finding. Understanding anyway, we're lost in this masquerade.
This is Elias from San Antonio, Texas. testimonial on the Nature's Miracle ointment. I've been using that on small burns and cuts, and within hours you can see the healing begin. And on my wife, she's bedridden. I've used it on rashes on her face and on her legs, and the same thing. I'll tell the nurses kind of as a joke. I'll say, this is going to start to heal within a few hours, and within 2 or 3 hours, they can already see the difference. So it's a great product. I recommend it.
For Changing Worldviews listeners, you can get a 25% discount. Go to Apex Health, apexhealth.life/Sharon. You can order at the special price of $29.95 or call 833-334-5433. Again, 833-334-5433. It's summertime, and we have a special, special offer. Every once in a while, you'll hear that we will have a grab bag offer where I pick two of my top pick books out of our shelves for $25. Well, our special summer special, it's three books for $25, like The ABCs of Globalism, Help Mom, Hollywood's in My Hamper, and many more. Order right away so that you get the best first. And you can do that by going online via our new store at our new website, changingworldviews.com. Or you can send a check for $25 to Changing Worldviews, P.O. Box 995, Cedar Ridge, California, 95924. If we're not careful, we can get lost in this masquerade. Thanks for staying with me. Okay, so here's just part of the dueling that happened between Senator Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci before the Senate committee this week.
Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly, and I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
The gain-of-function research was going on in that lab, and NIH funded it.
That is
not...
You
can't get away from it. It meets your definition, and you are obfuscating the truth.
I'm not obfuscating the truth. You are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individual. I totally resent that. And if anybody is lying here, Senator, it is you.
This is your definition that you guys wrote. It says that scientific research that increases the transmissibility among mammals is gain of function. They took animal viruses that only occur in animals and they increased their transmissibility to humans. How you can say that is not gain of function?
It is not.
It's a dance, and you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world from a pandemic.
And let's send Dr. Fauci.
I have to, well, now you're getting into something. If the point that you are making is that the grant that was funded as a subaward from EcoHealth to Wuhan created SARS-CoV-2, that's where you are getting. Let me finish.
We don't know.
Well,
we don't
wait
know
a minute.
If it did come from the lab, but all the evidence is pointing that it came from the lab, and there will be responsibility for those who funded the lab, including yourself.
I totally
This committee
resent,
will allow the witness to respond.
I totally resent the lie that you are now propagating, Senator, because if you look at the viruses that were used in the experiments that were given in the annual reports that were published in the literature, it is molecularly impossible.
No one's saying those viruses caused it.
It is molecularly.
Those viruses caused the pandemic. What we're alleging is that gain of function research was going on in that lab and NIH funded it.
That is not.
Get away from it. It meets your definition and you are obfuscating the truth.
And you are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individual. I totally resent that.
It could have been.
And if anybody is lying here, Senator, it is you. You.
So who is lying and who is telling the truth? Who's wearing the masks and who's promoting this masquerade? Well, Jim Jordan, talking with Congress, brought up emails between Dr. Fauci and some of his colleagues showing that he indeed was alerted regarding this whole issue. Let's listen to that.
Has worked for Fauci for 15 years, part of his inner circle, sends it. Subject line says important in all capital letters. He attaches a paper on gain of function research written by Dr. Barrick and Dr. Shi. Dr. Shi, of course, is the so-called bat lady, bat woman, the lady who does research in the Wuhan, China lab. This email, Dr. Fauci says, again, to his top deputy, it is essential that we speak this AM. Keep your cell phone on. Read this paper. You will have tasks to do today that must be done. Notice the intensity. Notice the focus. I mean, this is the house is on fire email here. Now, 2 hours after that, at 2:48 in the morning, Dr. Fauci's busy this morning. 12:29, that email he sent to Dr. Auchincloss, his top deputy. 2 hours later at 2:48 in the morning, he sends another email, this one to Robert Kadlec, assistant HHS secretary, Trump appointee, not part of his inner circle, and he attaches a different article to this email, one that says the virus came from an animal that downplays any lab leak theory. Now, again, notice the tone of this one. Bob, this just came out today. Gives a balanced view. Best, Tony.
So again, who's lying? Well, more of that will come out, and we will report in future shows in this little series that we're doing on Unmasking the Masquerade. For the full second segment, the first part of my interview with author of Unmasking the Masquerade, Erlene Kurla, propaganda, politics, power, population control. Many believe this is part of the agenda using COVID-19. And as always, I like to close out with a favorite song of mine. And today's choice is by the Heritage Singers.
Day and the sun was shining bright. A gentle breeze was blowing my way. Not a storm cloud inside.
Then suddenly, without a warning, a storm surrounded my life. But even in the storm, I can feel the calm, and here's the reason why. I know
that he is near.
my fear, and I can smile and say, I know the Peacemaker. I know him by name. I know the Peacemaker. He controls the winds and waves. When he says peace, be still, they have to
is Sharon Hughes from California, saying it like it is.
You've been listening to Changing World Views with Sharon Hughes. You can follow Sharon at facebook.com/Sharon and twitter.com/Sharon. Please take advantage of our online shows covering topics and guests we can't possibly cover on our weekly show. That's why we offer more at our website, changingworldviews.com. Join Sharon next time, and until then, stay alert, stay informed, because we live in a changing world. We'll be right back.